Okay. Ready? Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter, we'll pick up it right. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, we did cover a little bit last week, but we're going to pick back up at verse 17 just because
we can get a running start.
We will get a running start, right? So we'll go from 17 and we'll see how far. I thought we'd get to Melchizedek last week, but we didn't, so I won't say that this time. So we'll just
see.
Right, I'll see how far we get. So, for good measure, let's read down to verse 7. Actually, that's a lot of verses. Let's just have a word of prayer and we'll get started and see how far we get. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to meet again to study your word. We pray for open hearts and minds to receive it. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take the words and enlighten us, that these things may be clear to us as you would have them to be. We pray for those who are here tonight. We pray for those who would like to be here but couldn't make it. We pray for Ed and Annette who are away tonight. And we pray for the body as a whole, that you might strengthen us according to our needs, that we might be equipped to do those things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. As we go forward, once again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word, and we pray that the outcome would be for your glory. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Before we start, I know we were here last week. Were you here? That, you know, Sarah's not coming back, so let's, she found, I know, it's sad, that she found a different assembly.
But she's listening online.
But she's, oh, Sarah, if you're listening online,
we miss you.
We certainly miss you, right.
Okay.
And if you think about it, you're always welcome to pop in and give us a treat, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. 17, verse.
Chapter 6,
verse 17. Last week we should have been focusing on God's oath, the veracity of his word and the security of his oath. But I thought we'd get to Melchizedek and we didn't. So this week we will get to some of that. But last week we found out that God, when he does promise something, he keeps it. And when he gave his word to Abraham, just like he gives his word to the Hebrews about the promise to come, it's a sure thing. It's always a guarantee. Wherein, 17, God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And this is for the Hebrews, just like God promised Abraham, and he couldn't go any higher than his own word. You know what Psalm said, that he esteemed his name, his word above his name. And we know that a person is only as good as what? Is their word. If God says, I'm going to do this, that settles it, right? Mm-hmm. You could take that. You can take that. And he gives examples all through, especially the one about Abraham, where Abraham, even though he had not received the promise, he went on as though God saw it as done. That's why he could call him
father.
A father of many nations. And even with us, well, I'll go to the Hebrews first. Even with the Hebrews to whom this is written, if he gives them a promise, they could take that promise and look forward as we'll get to in 11, all those people who came through looking for that hope and never received it, they can't say that it won't happen. They just have to wait. That's why Peter would say God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men might count slackness, but not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. But if he said it, he'll make it good. And our problem is the holdout, the hope, the expectation. Not, you know what, I hope this is going to work out. The expectation is, if I don't realize it here.
Confident expectation.
Yeah.
As my pastor used to say, eagle expectation. Not eager, eagle.
Eagle. That's why I said eagle.
Yeah, that's old folk.
Wings as eagles.
Eagle expectation. I guess the.
Does that have something to do with his favorite football?
I think it's just being a Southern man. So God confirmed it by an oath. And we covered that in when we connected to everything. When God promises all those things, in my, when I see that, I see the covenant, the covenants. And he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he's introducing him now, Melchizedek, and his priesthood. And he says that the hope that they have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Their hope, says, it entereth into that within the veil. What's within the veil? You said that last week, right? His glory, that is a place where only the high priest could go under the old economy.
Once a year.
One man
with blood,
which is a figure of what was to come. He goes from, and I think we did cover that, he goes from not just, you can forget the nations, they couldn't even enter into the tabernacle. The nation couldn't enter into the tabernacle. One tribe and selected men out of that tribe. And out of those men, only one man could go within the veil. And he had stipulations. Not at all times, once a year, and with blood. Is that access?
That's extreme.
It's extremely limited access. But the writer says we have a hope, and this hope will allow us to enter within the veil. And he says, whither or where the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus. Here's a priest who's introducing a new priesthood, who's under a new priesthood, a new priestly order, and this priest will allow all the other priests to do what? Enter within the veil. Total access. Don't you think if I was a Hebrew, I would say, if you were a Hebrew, you would say,
yes.
You would say yes. Would you want to know who that priest is?
Mm-hmm.
Or how did that happen? And it says, even Jesus. You know, when you see that, when he'll say something like, that even, like the forerunner, even Jesus. So you won't mistake it for maybe somebody else. He says, the forerunner, even Jesus. It's like in a positive. In the English, is it?
So here it's talking that Jesus is the forerunner.
Jesus is the forerunner.
Okay, even Jesus. Okay.
That's what, you know, I say in a positive. You know what in a positive is? It's a word that just further explains the subject that you're talking about. I would say, Jenny. You say, Jenny, my wife. Or Jenny, wherever you work at, the Jenny, the manager. So you're further identifying that person. Where she says, Jesus, even a forerunner, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 7:1. And now he's getting ready to explain why the order of Melchizedek and how important it is. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, here's the positive again. He's further explaining who he is. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. Now, like, we know now that he's a king and a priest, right? And who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, we're going to stop right there. Melchizedek, at that time, he is, just going to put it there, he's king, right, mm-hmm. And priest. Yeah. He's king and priest, right? King of Salem, which is Jerusalem, actually, the city of peace. And he's priest. He's the priest of the Most High God, right? King of Salem. Righteousness, right? That's what which is interpreted, being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, neither having beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. You were with him?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm reading this, and he met Abraham coming from the slaughter of Genesis. You get Genesis? So you can see that. You know, you remember the account, right? Just in case we don't. Genesis. It was, well, more than that.
Which was in the king's bed?
Genesis 14. Now, we're not going to read all that in from 1 down to verse 13. But what we'll do is just pick through here. Verse 1. We'll start there. And it came to pass in the days... You know, before we do that, look back up at 13:14. This might help as we go forward. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, in before this passage comes up, before the war comes up, God has promised Abram the whole land. Everything is his. He's in the land of Canaan. That's his. It's his. All of it. I'm pointing at the map, Sarah. You can't see the map, Sarah, but I'm pointing at the map. All this is his. So, and yet he hasn't moved. He just promised him. Mm-hmm. Lot has just been separated from him. Matter of fact, here's a little side note for you. He said, after Lot was separated, and he says, now what? Look and see this, what I'm blessing you with. Guess what his name means?
Lot.
A lot of land.
Surveyor.
Vale.
As long as he's carrying Lot around with him, God can never show him the blessing that he has for him. As soon as Lot leaves, he said, now, listen, he's fighting over land. Mm-hmm. And Abraham says, listen, the land is big enough for both of us. You pick, wherever you pick, I go the opposite way. And as soon as he leaves, God says, Abram, don't worry about it. It's all yours. Even where he's looking. So, 14:1, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shava, Kirithaim. Now we won't read all those words, but they, you know, I have to say this too while we're looking at this. This is how scriptures, they'll tell you things if you listen. Number, verse 4. 12 years, they what?
Served Chedorlaomer.
He's telling you right there, the number 12 means what?
Service.
13th year, they rebelled. 14th year, somebody got smote. It'll tell you what they mean.
So 14 means smote or death?
To smite. Or right. When you go through that, you'll see those things amplified. And you don't have to force it. But that's the derivative of another number. So this is the... We'll get that. So they began to fight, right? These kings. Verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Do you know what a victual is?
Food.
Yes. Their food supply. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Esau, and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. You know, that's the one of the first verses that, when I read, made me start to study words. When I first got saved, I'm reading, and it says, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. And I thought, when did he become a Hebrew?
Right. He's from Syria.
He's a, right. And he's a cow, right. But that's what it means.
And
because he crossed over. And not only that, he dwelt in the plain of Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
He crossed over, dwelt in the plain of Hebron. So, verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. You know what? Let me show you something. This is...
Is there any validity to where you're... I mean, all the descendants of Ham, Shem, and Japheth, that... It says, unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. And I've made a note, someone one time was saying that Eber was where the Hebrews came from. What you just said sounds probably plausible. Unless they're both true.
I'll have to check that. Let's see. This is not a good map, but I want to give you an idea of how far he went. The
where did he cross? He crossed to become a Hebrew, or is it just because he's dwelling in?
Well, he came out of.
He crossed this river right here.
Okay.
The Euphrates River.
So it is because of his location that he started to become a Hebrew.
And he dwelt, and where he dwelt, I don't see it up here, but he dwelt in the plain of Hebron.
Mm-hmm.
Hebron? Hebrew?
Okay.
Now, I just want to show you this. And again, for Sarah and those who cannot see the map, you can't see what I'm pointing to. But they're down here.
Who's there?
When Abram, when he goes
after the slaughter of the king.
Yes, this is okay. This is better.
Okay. More color.
Here's Hebron. Here.
Where's
Mamre?
Dan is not, it's up, not up here, but Dan is way up here.
Mm-hmm.
He went, that was about 150 miles that he starts here and goes way up here. And really, that territory that he covered is the whole territory that God promised Abraham.
Because aren't they sectioned this way? So he's cutting across the center of all.
They went the whole, that's Canaan. He went the whole from Dan to Beersheba. That's what that land is.
Mm-hmm.
He went the whole territory. That's a long way to chase somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was interesting when I read that. He says, he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he, by the way, when Paul, remember when Paul said, I requested letters to go to Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
Same way. When he said, I persecuted him under strange cities, he wasn't kidding. He starts here in Jerusalem. He's way up here. Saul.
Yeah.
Just like Abram starts here. Is he serious?
Yeah.
That's Damascus. He says, on the left hand of Damascus, they're, like I said, they're way up there. Verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And
eating and drinking.
And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. That goes right with verse 18. Deliver thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all. Now, that's an interesting exchange, if I may say so.
Mm-hmm.
Where here you have Melchizedek comes out, and at this time, I don't want to get too caught up in this because we got to get back to Hebrews. Abram is God's man. For all practical purposes, he is. He's the king that God is investing. He's the father, and he's promised him this land. He just told him, this is all yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Melchizedek when Abram comes back from the victory, and he catches him. He comes out from Jerusalem, catches Abram on the way back, and he's got what?
Tithes and offerings.
Nope. Melchizedek's got, he's got for the victory. And Abram's got what?
Tithes.
He's got tithes. He's got a tenth ready to give to Melchizedek. They're exchanging. Melchizedek says, good job, son,
mm-hmm.
with the victory. And Abram says, thank God that he gave me the victory.
Mm-hmm.
He gives him the bread and wine. He gives him a tenth. That's how this thing's going to work. Even in the future.
First tithe.
That's the first tithe. It is. You know, when people say, they say, well, you, and we say this. And don't do this. Don't do this.
They say it was before the law.
But I'm saying, don't you do that. Don't say that tithing was under the law, because it was not.
Mm-hmm.
You say, tithing, you just read it. It's not under the law because he just gave it to him.
But it's part of Israel's program.
There is no Israel right here.
Well, that's true. Okay.
Before everything.
It's part of the reclamation of the earth. The restoration of
it. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Before we get hung up on the tithe, it's a principle.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody said, look, he gave him tithes of all, I told you what. We talked about this, didn't we? 1, 10, 100,
mm-hmm.
1,000, 10,000. thousands of thousands. What?
Honor.
Okay.
He's honoring Melchizedek.
He's right, and he's honoring God. He's because he's the priest
of the Most High God,
the possessor of heaven and earth. And Abram has just taken back a chunk of that possession.
It drives me crazy because it's like they don't have more about this Melchizedek. It's like he's just such a mystery.
It's not a mystery. He's telling you all you need to know. He said, this man is a type, Melchizedek is a type of Christ.
So he was
he's a priest of an order to come.
But you see what I'm saying? Where I stumble is along the timeline. And I'm like, okay, is this, I guess it's in between Babel and Abraham is when Mel is reigning, or was he reigning? It sounds like
watch this
the whole time.
Okay. He said, without
mother, without father,
without
beginning
or ending.
Beginning or ending. Yeah. Don't worry about it. He's telling you right there. He says, hey, don't worry about that.
This cat's always been around.
Don't.
But here's the thing that's bothered me, because when Melchizedek got brought up in our discussion weeks ago, as we cycled through Hebrews, Jenny said he's a man, and you said yes. So is it in the sense that, well, Christ can't be in the sense that Christ was the firstborn, which is a title, firstborn from the dead. But if this is a man who has neither mother nor father, neither beginning of days or end of days, how can that be?
I think you're missing. I think you're missing.
Is it reincarnate? Is it a theophany of the resurrected Lord? Okay.
I know, because think, of that mother and father.
Right.
And
don't.
You get caught up in that.
He's telling you in Hebrews what I want you to focus on. He said he's a priest after the order of this man. He's a king and a what?
And a priest.
Of the what?
Most High.
And he's a prince, king of righteousness, king of what? Peace. He's all he has in mind is this king and this priest is different from your priest.
Yeah.
Your priest is limited. My priest is not. Your priest is temporary. My priest is not. Your priest can't take the land. My priest can. Your priest can't make you perfect. My priest can. My priest is better than your priest. That's what he wants you to know.
Yeah, I mean that. We get that. It's just you just human nature. You want to put like
you want to tie it with a bow.
Yeah,
you want to fit it like
that's a bow. You can't. So okay, watch this. He says, and he blessed him. Okay, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he. Okay, I just can't help this.
Do it
in Revelation. When the Lord begins to take over, to take back the possession, mm-hmm. He, when it's all said and done, he has something at the end called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. The marriage supper.
So the battle
after the
victory. It's the spoils of
war. After that, they have.
The supper.
They have a marriage supper.
Okay.
What do you expect to be at a supper?
The
bread and wine.
Thank you. Bread and wine.
Well,
at the least.
So then the carnage that the birds and we're going to feed on.
That's all. Yeah, that's all after the fact.
Okay.
He says, you know what? Come and dine. 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath what?
Delivered
thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Now that sounds like Melchizedek gave him to Abram. But Abram gave it to Melchizedek. Because he is the priest of the Most High God. And how you honor God is through the priest. And how you honor God, Abram dictated it by giving him what? The tenth.
The honor.
Okay, back to Hebrews. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 20.
Where are you getting tenth from?
Tithe means the tenth.
Oh, never mind.
Gave him tithes and all, so
yeah.
That means
10%.
Yeah, but
a tenth.
Right.
Okay.
It was written earlier.
Yeah, I thought it may have been Hebrews.
So look at verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. That's why he gave the tithe to who? To Melchizedek. He said, I don't want anything from you. Because you will say, you know what, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have this. He said, no, he said, I'm leaving this all up to God. He said, I don't even want a shoelace from you. I want to make sure God gets the credit for this. Okay? All right, back to Hebrews. Verse 7, or chapter 7. To whom also, this is Melchizedek, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth. Don't worry about that.
No, Feldick said something like that one time. It's like once he changed his name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah, and H is like the fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and fifth is grace. And
Yeah, he's right. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Who's going to be the next king of righteousness? The righteous king.
Jesus Christ.
Who's going to be the next king of peace?
Jesus Christ.
Who's going to be the next king of Jerusalem?
Jesus Christ.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made
like
unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Look, if he's made like unto him, if he's made like him, if I say, make me a bottle like that, what?
I can't find where you're reading. You said you were back in Hebrews.
7 verse 2. Hebrews
7:2.
7:3, yes.
Oh.
The new order. Listen, look how far they have to go before a new priest arises after this order.
Because the last time you see him is in Genesis, right?
The first time you see him is in Genesis. And then he talks about him again in Hebrews when it's all pertaining to the kingdom coming in again.
But it's not like he pops up in other places.
Nowhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like...
It's that little seed just dropped in there.
And that's now they have. They start with Aaron, the new priesthood. With Abraham. If this priest shows up, if Melchizedek shows up, suppose Melchizedek shows up, right? Mm-hmm. And here's Melchizedek, here's Aaron. We know how Aaron got to be a priest, because he's from what?
Levi.
He's from Levi. We know where it started, right? Mm-hmm. We know the beginning. We know the end. We know his mother. We know his father. Mm-hmm. Suppose Melchizedek shows up and says, "Hey, Aaron, I'm a priest too." And he said, "Who's your mama? Who's your daddy?" Mm-hmm. And Melchizedek would say, "Don't worry about that." He says, "My order is different. But I'm still a priest of what?"
So it's almost like my order is almost like my orders, my marching orders, my course.
Yes,
is different.
Same thing. He said, "My service never ends; yours does. My sacrifice never ends; yours does." Okay. He says, verse 4, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even..." Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Okay. Levi, God told the tribe of Levi, he told them, "You take tithes from the people." Take tithes, he says, from your brethren. Right? Take tithes from your brethren. You get tithes from the other 11 tribes. Mm-hmm. Even though your brothers, I want them to honor you. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you say, why?
12 tribes.
You say, why? They should be equal, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because
they're not equal, because God picked the tribe out. He said, "You won't be like them. They're going to give you a tenth," mm-hmm, "because of something you did." It was something they did, but their inheritance is given to them from the rest of those.
Right.
But that's not the point. He says, but 6, he whose descent is not counted from them, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. That's Melchizedek. He said Melchizedek received tithes, and he wasn't even associated with Levi. He said, I want you to consider how great this man was, who what? He got a tenth. They get a tenth from the other tribes. Consider how great this man was, who is not from Levi, and he got a tenth from the father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of those 12.
Yeah. You showing how powerful Melchizedek is in the chain of command.
That's right. In the chain, he's high. And he says this, and he blessed him that had the promises. Listen, Melchizedek has to be greater than Abraham in order to bless him. That's why he said the next verse, and without contradiction, the less is what?
Yes.
Blessed of the better. Okay. Abram is God's man in the earth. He just received the whole land promise, right? Mm-hmm. He's a father of many nations, right? And then here comes Melchizedek, meets him after the slaughter, and he says, bless you. I'm going to bless you. And the greater blesses the lesser. And he says, listen, I want you to think about how great this man is. Because when you think about how great this man is, then you'll think about how great that man is. If you think about how great Melchizedek is, you'll think about how great Christ is. So when the Hebrew writer tells them to go follow him, it won't be a problem.
Because they already held Melchizedek up higher than
esteem.
They already held him in esteem, and they held Abraham in esteem. And he said, listen, if you like him, you got it. If you like Abraham, you got to like Melchizedek. Because Abraham gave him honor. And if you like Melchizedek, you got to like Christ. Because he's on the same line. He's on the same order.
Good, better, best. Thank you.
It's like, leave the hamburger and go for the steak. It's better. It's okay.
Do you see the progression where he's trying to get them, and he said,
never considered Melchizedek in between, like just because
all he's introducing, because he said this man, he said he's made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, mm-hmm. And this is what he means. He really doesn't have a right to be a priest under the natural order.
Yeah, white man.
The Levitical.
Under the Levitical. He said, and it's by design, because this is an Old Testament priesthood.
And it's weak through the flesh.
This is going to be right.
That one's weak through the flesh. This one, the Lord himself does.
This is temporary. The old temporary. This is eternal.
That's a shadow.
That's the substance. And when he goes on, a couple more verses. And here in the Old Testament priesthood, and here, men that receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. I missed the word. And here, men that die receive tithes. Here. Under the Old Testament priesthood, these men receive tithes,
and they die. That was their inheritance. Yeah, was
this. But there, the Melchizedekian priesthood, he said there, he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. Verse 9, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. When Melchizedek met Abraham, guess where Levi was?
Not there yet.
Not there. He was in God's plan. But he gave Melchizedek a tenth. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. If therefore perfection were under the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?
No.
He said, listen, if this was the best thing going and it could make you perfect, if it could give you spiritual maturity, spiritual fitness, listen, stay with me. That's true. But I want you to get this. If it could give you spiritual maturity, spiritual perfection, if it could transform you into the image, why would he need another priesthood? If it could do everything that needed to be done for you, why would he have to have another priesthood?
Paul says the same thing. If a law had been given, that
could
make
if it could have given life, there would have been a law that could have done it. So, in Hebrews 10, he said, if there was a sacrifice that could have took away your sin, then it would be no need for Jesus Christ to come and be that sacrifice. Right. And we'll get into that more next week. We'll stop right there.
That's good.